Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board with us as we face the issues. We're facing the issues under cloudy skies, heavy wind, drizzling rain, and forecast to have some wind and rain for the next couple of days. Let me say this, during the course of this broadcast, we're going to be interviewing former Congressman Mike Hill from District 1 for the representative of the state of Florida. We're going to be talking about the election that's just taken place. I'm calling it today Election 2022 Debriefing. Election 2022 Debriefing. But before we get into the debriefing of our 2022 election and what we see as the outcome and the potential outcome, as we witness the battleground states still wrestling with counting votes, broken machines, illegal activities, in my opinion, taking place. Before we discuss that, let me just simply say we need to be in prayer for our state, for the entire state of Florida, with what's coming in to the shores on the east side of the east coast of Florida and what will be taking place for the next couple of days in particular. It's a storm, a raging storm. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm reminded of Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter, verse 35 through 41, where the scripture tells us about the disciples being on board a ship. Jesus is there with them. The scripture says he's in the hinder part of the ship, asleep, verse 38. And they awaken him because they're afraid they're about to drown. The water's coming over the side of the ship. The ship's about to be inundated with water. They're fearful they're going to die. And they awaken Jesus in a rush and asking him, basically, don't you care if we die? And the scripture says in verse 39, Jesus, and he, that is Jesus, arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, that's the disciples, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Ladies and gentlemen, in the next few days, as we see the wind and the rain, understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is the master over the storms. And so therefore, as we enter into 2 or 3 days in the state of Florida with massive winds and rains, may I say to you, we need to be in prayer asking God to continue to give us faith and strength as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues each and every day, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I call it the truth book. The Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said in John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus says in John 14, 6, I am truth. And further in John 17, 17, we see the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that endures forever, according to Psalms 117 and verse 2. But we're in a society today that we've just witnessed, ladies and gentlemen, in the election process is what I call a very, very clear, evident token of the rejection of truth, the refusal to believe the truth. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be very, very true. If I can use that pun, that twist of words today, they reject truth, and we see that more than ever. And maybe because we're finding a younger generation in control of so much of American activities. I'm looking at a headline that says most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. This article goes on to say 55% of Americans 18 to 29 years of age think that each person can determine their own version of truth. That opinion also holds to those of different age groups, but the percentage diminishes as people grow older. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes on to talk about the age group differentiation and those that believe that there is a variety of truths and not just one truth. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made such a powerful statement. It says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. So that's my challenge to each and every listener each and every day, is that we need to learn the truth, look for the truth, listen to the truth, learn it, love it, tell it, live it. And ladies and gentlemen, the most difficult thing, I believe, in the current era that we're in, is to defend the truth, even to death. And some candidates in the election simply did that by standing on the truth, speaking the truth, wound up not getting the number of votes that I believe should have been garnered for that candidate or each of the candidates standing for truth. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, it's not over until it's over. We're still watching some of the shenanigans in the election. We'll be talking about that in just a moment, asking some of the questions about what happened, why did it happen, how did it happen, how do you correct it, what's the future, where we go from here. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, a knowledgeable staff that can answer your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions in relationship to the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. There's 165-foot flagpole Old Glory flying at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the flag in the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. Wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It is a family-friendly oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, America just had what I think is the most consequential, far-reaching election in recent history. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask a few questions, then we're going to introduce our guest today. But the question is, what happened? There was a lot of material going out by way of some of the news outlets, some of the printed material that said that we were looking for a red wave. As one writer put it, it was a red trickle, not a red wave. Now, why? What happened? How do we analyze, if you want to use the term as we call it today, election 2022 debriefing? How do we review, go back into, backtrack into what took place, why it took place, and what is happening? Ladies and gentlemen, what went wrong, if anything? Are things going right in any of the areas? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, we flipped Duval red. Tonight, we sent a clear message across Duval County and the entire state of Florida by delivering a decisive victory for Ron DeSantis, Senator Marco Rubio, and Sheriff-elect T.K. Waters. Ladies and gentlemen, I can go further with that article, but it simply recaps basically some of the positives in relationship to this election as stands for the state of Florida. We'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast, but the question is, what do we say and how do we respond to what happened? I'm thankful, by the way, that we live in a free state in the state of Florida. I believe that what we saw was a meaningful signal, if you will, to the nation that says in the state of Florida, we are free citizens. We're thankful to live in this free state. We do not face the fraudulent forced lockdowns. We're not faced with the phony mask mandates in the state of Florida. We're not faced with the school closures and the forced COVID death jabs in the state of Florida. But this is not the case on a national basis. We are told today that we are faced with still some of the battleground states of not finalizing the vote. Some of the states not having a final answer to who won and how it was won and how many. We look at what I believe happened, and I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it was simply a replay of 2020 with the exception of the presidential candidates. I believe we watched, and I believe that all Americans should be gravely concerned about what we've just seen, what we've witnessed. It's a replay of the 2020 election, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast. Let me remind you, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We'd love to have your responses, your questions, your comments about what do you think took place? Why did it happen? Why are we still finding fraudulent ballots being cast, especially in the battleground states? And some and more of those issues will be discussed in this broadcast. Today, I'm thankful to have a good friend, a brother in Christ, a fellow conservative and Republican, Mike Hill. Congressman Hill was the former representative of District 1 for the state of Florida. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for taking time out of a busy schedule to join us on the broadcast today so that we can kind of do what I'm calling a debriefing of the 2022 election. Thank you for joining us today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It's always an honor to be on your show.
Well, when I considered what we were doing and looking at the debriefing for the 2022 election, I want our audience to understand, I felt that you're the best go-to person to ask the questions we're going to talk about today, being a seasoned person as a Christian, as a conservative, as a Republican, and having been in the political arena for quite some time. You should be able to answer some of these questions. Let me just touch on something to start us off, Congressman. Headline, voting machines already not working in Arizona. This was November the 8th, yesterday morning. Voters in Maricopa County, the most populous county in Arizona, are running into issues as they attempt to have their ballots read by the voting machines. At one location, a poll worker told voters that the tabulators are not working and that they could just simply leave their ballots in a box, which would then be counted later down the road or downtown. So what happened is what these two tabulators, one of the tabulators is not working. And that's okay. Is that okay? The question was asked. The other tabulator is taking about 75% successful. So 25% of them are being misread by the tabulators. And it could be a printing issue, one reporter said. Many of those voters in the line said that they did not trust leaving their ballots in a box that would be sent to another place to be counted. Later, reports came out saying that the ballots could not be read because of blotchery ink from the printers. So here's the picture, Congressman. 25% of the ballots could not be counted. They're kicked out because of so-called tabulator problems. But when it's kicked out, they say, we'll just put them in a box. We'll take them downtown and count them. But the problem is the majority of those ballots, once they've been run through, it blurred the ink so that it could not be read for most of them as to the little bubble of ink to circle or to mark the candidate that you wanted to vote for. What do you see behind the scenes? Is this possible that this is a human error? Is it possible it's a mechanical error? Is it possible, Congressman Hill, that we've just watched a replay of the 2020 election?
I think we are watching a replay, Dr. Youngblood. First of all, the fact that these machines were not tested, that they were not validated to make sure that they would be able to read those ballots, even if they say it's because the ink wasn't on there clearly enough for the machines to read it, they should have been able to detect and know that before the races started. That is a clear indictment of the supervisor of elections there, his inability to do things properly, to do things right. And I think that was intentional so that they could give themselves an excuse to cheat. Here is Florida, the third most populous state in the nation, and has almost twice the number of voters as Arizona. And our counting was finished last night or early this morning. And here's Arizona still trying to count votes with many less voters than Florida, but they're still trying to count. And I think it is because it has given them an opportunity to once again use election fraud in our elections.
You're exactly right. I'm looking at another headline about the same thing. I'll read it just to do a tying up the loose ends on that aspect of the election. Maricopa County confirms tabulators are in fact malfunctioning on election day. Authorities in Maricopa County, Arizona confirmed Tuesday morning at a news conference that 20% of the vote centers in the county are experiencing issues. 20% of the voting machines experiencing problems, this writer says in this article. It was around 4 p.m. Maricopa officials said they have identified a solution to the tabulation issues at dozens and dozens of polling locations, blaming it on printer settings errors. In about 20% of the voting centers, when people go to try to run their ballots through the tabulator, maybe one out of every five or so of the ballots are not going through, said Maricopa County Supervisor Chairman Bill Gates. It's not the same Bill Gates that's the computer guru. Gates said the problem is not preventing people from casting their ballots, saying that the voters can deposit their ballots in a box that will be then delivered downtown, end quote. So, Congressman, you just touched on it. We look at the state of Florida, and we see that the election basically was over last night, and yet we see some of the battleground states that are still going through the counting process. Identify some of those and some of what you see taking place across the nation today and what you see as the problem, and then we'll talk about some issues about where do we go.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, first of all, I'll say that Florida overall appears to be in very good shape. If you take just the state of Florida, you take the congressional race, which DeSantis won handily, look at the cabinet level, the chief financial officer, the attorney general, the ag commissioner, that all of those did go red and pretty handily. We see that Rubio was able to beat Val Demings pretty heavily. So Florida looks to be in good shape, even in counties down south, which typically were Democrat strongholds, such as Broward, Miami-Dade, and Palm Beach, that Rubio and DeSantis both were able to win those counties, which is really surprising. Well, let me not say that was surprising. Let me say this. I think it shows that a number of people in Florida, even on the left, were able to wake up and see that when you have a free state like Florida, when you see that freedom and common sense prevails, that is what most people want. And so we see Florida is in pretty good shape. Was there any election fraud taking place in Florida? I believe there was. That's just how the left, how Democrats operate. So those margins of victory were probably actually even higher than what was displayed. But when we look at other states, you look at, for example, Pennsylvania, and you see where Fetterman was able to beat Dr. Oz despite clear evidence of a decline in his cognitive ability after his stroke that he had. How on earth could he win that election? It doesn't even make sense. Why would you vote for someone who can't even put a sentence together? So was there fraud there, or was it just a lot of stupidity in the state of Pennsylvania? I would say a combination of both.
Absolutely. And, Congressman, hold your thought for just a moment. I believe we have Miranda on the line. Miranda, go over the question to comment, please.
Yes. I just think that there was, in these battleground states, that they have a machine, a Democratic machine, that mucks up most of the election results. Because I watched the debate between Fetterman and Dr. Oz, and there's no way on earth I would have chosen Fetterman over Oz. I would not have done that. And I don't really think that the Pennsylvania people are that stupid either. There are a lot of there's a lot of liberal leaning around Philadelphia, but out in the western part of the state, you're getting towards my husband's land, and that's West Virginia. Those are conservative, hardworking, blue-collar people who just want a better life for their children than they've had. And I don't see them voting for this. I doubt the validity of any of these results that are coming from these battleground states. I just feel that, once again, the Democratic machine, my brother calls them the demo rats.
that's a good name.
The demo rats have cheated. And I just cannot for the life of me understand that. The same way with Trump in 2020. Joe Biden hid in his basement and didn't even really campaign, couldn't get a room full of people. Donald Trump would announce he was going to have a rally and 40,000 people would get in line. That didn't happen. It just didn't happen that way. They're asking us not to believe our lion eyes. And so I believe my lion eyes, so that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Miranda. You're exactly right. Congressman Hill, how do you respond to those comments?
Oh, I think she hit the nail right on the head. She's absolutely right. There's no way that someone with common sense could vote for a Fetterman in Pennsylvania, not only after watching a debate, but almost all other instances where he appeared in public. He walks around with a hoodie on. Who would vote for that for your U.S. senator? It doesn't even make sense. And most people did not. And in particular, when you hear Joe Biden making the statement that we are going to close coal mines in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and other states, and campaigning with Fetterman, meaning that Fetterman is going to support that. Why on earth would anyone vote for him? They wouldn't. And so there has to be a lot of fraud there. You know, and Dr. Youngblood, the same thing with New York, where it looks like they voted for Huchel to win again or to win that race, when she has demonstrated that she is a tyrant, that she makes wrong, boneheaded decisions, in particular when it comes to COVID-19 vaccine mandates and lockdowns and mask mandates, that she was wrong. It's been proven that she was wrong. And her radical stance on murdering babies in the womb, on abortion. Why on earth would anyone vote for that? And I don't think they would.
No, you're exactly right. It's the old cliche. My mother used to call it the proof's in the pudding. And you see the makeup of it. Congressman, I'm going to run something by you. Ponder it while we take our next caller. Here's my point. The battleground states, yes, we have major problems just as in 2020. Just as was in 2016 with many of them. But the Arizona difficulty is found in Maricopa County, the most populous county in Arizona. The major problem in Georgia is Fulton County, the most populous nucleus, inner city, as you would call it, in the Atlanta area. That's where the major problems were in the Georgia election. You look at the one with Fetterman in Pennsylvania. It was in Philadelphia. It's called Philadelphia County. Pittsburgh County, I believe it's Philadelphia County. You look at that, and that's the county that gave him the win supposedly. The point that I make with those statements, is it possible that we're seeing the major fraud machines set up in these battleground states just in certain counties? Hold your thought with that before you respond to it. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, Representative Hill, how are you guys doing today?
Doing well, I pray that you are.
Very well,
doing
thank
good.
You.
I was watching the exit polls, and I found it almost astounding that abortion was the second issue on some of the exit polls. I guess the people who complain the loudest are the ones that are already alive, as Ronald Reagan said. The second point I wanted to make is Montgomery County and Bucks County. I lived in Montgomery County, which is outside of Philadelphia County, and I lived there in the early 90s, and the voter rolls there are always turning out over 100%. It was that way in the 90s. That place is corruption central as far as the vote goes. So I can tell you that between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, that's what carried Fetterman.
That's right. So you believe that it's the dead people that were voting?
That and the people that sit down and canvass votes. They just go, they're professional canvassers. That's all they do is just go out and collect the names and put them on the rolls and turn in the ballots. Also, the Arizona, I'd like to state that I've heard from some other individuals there that they were using felt markers, which will make that block oval much larger, and that any time a vote doesn't get scanned and it goes into that box, it goes to a process called arbitration, which takes longer because then the ballot has to be looked at by individuals from both parties, and they have to both agree on who did this, like the hanging Chad incident here in Florida during Bush Gore.
I believe that you're exactly right. Congressman, how do you respond? What's your take on the statement?
Well, I'll have to apologize. I lost connection and didn't hear the very last part that Jim was saying, but I did hear the beginning part where he was talking about the fraud has been apparent in Philadelphia for many years now, for decades, and I don't think it has stopped. What we saw in 2020, when the left was able to cheat, when the Democrats were able to cheat, that there was no repercussions for that cheating. They were called out, the evidence was presented, but nothing happened. And so because of that, they said, well, we're just going to do it again. And I believe we see evidence of that in many places, such as Philadelphia. I'm surprised, I'll say this, Dr. Youngblood, I am surprised of the margin of victory by Governor Kemp over Stacey Abrams in Georgia. I thought it was going to be closer than that because of cheating again and give Abrams an opportunity to contest it. But the margin was so wide that he won. I was just really surprised by that.
Absolutely. Congressman, hold your thought. Jim, thank you so much for your call. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, I'd like to say that we just witnessed election 2020 fraud 2.0. There should have been no election held in 22 unless the 2020 fraud was corrected first. Also, whatever the Republicans lost, there should not be a recount. There should be an audit.
I'm in full agreement with that, Derby. If you'd like to hang on till after the top of the hour news, we'd like to have further conversation with you on that, your thoughts about the audit and your thoughts about what took place and your questions for the congressman. Congressman Hill and Derby, ladies and gentlemen, hang in there about 1 minute, top of the hour news. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.